moment and salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present accounted for. Good job, council. Okay, first up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the council anything that is not on tonight's agenda. So if it's not on tonight's agenda, you can come speak to the council on anything that you wish. 3 minutes. State your name and address if you like. Anyone would like to step forward? Kind of a popular thing. People want to do it. People line up. Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
No applause yet. That's after the professor. Did you fall asleep?
Okay. She's just shy. Hi, Maddie.
Welcome.
Tell them your name and your address.
Here,
My name is Maddie Malone Miller. My name is Maddie Malone Miller, and I live in 5870 Mallory Avenue. And tonight I'm going to talk about the graffiti.
You have to speak a little bit in the microphone, a little bit louder, so slow down.
Yeah.
And this is what our town looks like with graffiti. And I've seen the graffiti on the stop signs and on the high school. And this is what our town would look like without graffiti. And I have to drive by it every time I go to school in the morning. And I think it would be a good idea if we could clean up the graffiti so people wouldn't have to see it. And I'd help clean up the graffiti if you guys need help.
And where's the graffiti at?
On the stop sign by the high school and on the side of the high school.
There's a crosswalk sign by the high school. So two high school signs, stop signs, and a crosswalk sign. And on the bridge, that one bothers me a lot.
Well, that's great timing because I had two students come that needed to do some community service. So that's good timing on your part. That's why you should come to council and ask.
What should people do if they see graffiti? It can't come at 6 o'clock.
For all the mayor. First, we shouldn't pay it.
For the record,
you should contact the mayor.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maddie.
Okay, pressure's on. Try to top that. Another one.
My name is Grace Cisneros.
Oh, we can't talk to you. Get to the microphone.
Okay, my name is Grace Cisneros.
You're allowed to raise it up, too.
I live at 5913 Vista Drive. I believe all of you got a letter from me last week. I was so disappointed. Wednesday, the paper came again. I brought these papers from our neighbor, from the empty house next door. Okay? This is just from one house. Friday afternoon, I walked from Seamont to Vista and picked up all of these newspapers. This is litter. I don't know what else you can call it. I know the city has a very special relationship with the Ferndale Record. It's the official paper. It seems that you should be able to talk to that newspaper. They should not deliver. They should only deliver to addresses that have actually signed up to receive this. So there. I don't know what the council wants to do, but if you're concerned about graffiti, you should be concerned about this stuff. The other thing is, Friday morning, I missed picking up four more, because the city sweeper swept these things into the drain. Okay? So there. That is my comment. Now I'm going to wait to see what the city wants to do about it.
Do you want to continue littering the city or not?
The clerk would like to respond to you.
Fine.
Thank you very much for bringing that up. We the Ferndale Record is the paper of record, but only because state law requires us to pick a paper of record for putting legal notices in the paper. Regarding the free publications, the courts have said, and this has gone all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, that they have a free speech right to deliver that publication, and we have no control over that. We can't put anything in place that stops their ability to do that. The courts have protected this speech, even though it's advertising, just as they would the speech of the news section of the paper. This is something that we've tried to address in other cases, but we've done a lot of research on it, and so we are very aware of what our limitations, as unfortunate as they are.
But it seems like you have a special relationship. It's an official relationship. You can ask them not to deliver, at least in the city of Ferndale, to only deliver places to addresses that sign up for them. And if not, then I'm going to start delivering litter myself. I mean, that's what you're asking. You're kind of saying, you know what, we don't have any, it's out of our hands. Well, I think neighborliness works, goes a long way for good relationships.
I think we'd be happy to have a conversation with them, but we cannot impact their ability to deliver that newspaper.
Well, we certainly can voluntarily, or ask them voluntarily.
That is, if you could do that, that would be great.
Thank you, Grace.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else? Aha!
For special friends.
This is one of those, hey, aha.
Mark, I have a question.
What's your after school job?
Go ahead.
Welcome, sir. And sounded, who are you?
Anyone else? Sounded like a leading question. My name is Mark Reimers. I'm the editor of the Ferndale Record. Special relationship. Let me address that first. We are an independent newspaper, as most journalism is in the United States of America. We don't have a state-run publication, so ergo, there's no city-run publications unless it says newsletter on it and goes out with official mail. So speaking of mail, probably the only way for us to address this would be for all of our publications to be mailed out, which is a legitimate system of delivering newspapers. We haven't gone to that. We do have a carrier system. And I'm curious what the mix is of those publications that she's picking up, because in some cases there is a free publication that does go out, and that one does cause some angst. It's called the Whatcom Extra. It's basically a classified section, just like, you know, you'd get a little nickel, there's a Sudoku in there, and what have you. But and then the ones I'm more curious about are actually carrier mistakes, because we are a carrier publications. We do pay people to go out and deliver the newspaper, and that's just what you're paying for basically when you subscribe to the paper, pretty much. So that's just to explain the nuts and bolts of how it gets delivered. Anybody who is located at an address where a Whatcom Extra, that's the free publication, is being delivered, can call up and say, please don't deliver to my address. So that is an option that we will automatically get them off.
Well, I urge you, get together with Grace and figure something out. Because I don't think Grace is going to stop coming. Grace,
and she shouldn't.
We will urge Mark to get together with you and see if we can come to a solution.
It's the Whatcom Extra. And Mark, these are yours.
I will take them off your hands.
Okay, good. There you go. Thank you. Small town work. Yes? Councilperson Metzler?
Full disclosure.
Yes?
My son Jack was paper carrier of the month for the Record Journal. And I know how it works because Dad oversees this thing. Guilty as charged. Is he gets a memo every week from homes that do not want the Whatcom Extra. And by the way, he does not deliver to this particular route on Molloy. I want to say that right now. But as a paper carrier, every week he's told, you do not deliver to these homes. Otherwise, all the homes get them. So a person can ask to be exempt from any of these papers. A paper carrier might make a mistake. These are 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids on their first job. But they need to request not to get it.
I think Grace's problem is it's a house that's empty.
It's a house that's empty.
Right.
Houses, it's being delivered to empty houses. There's 218 houses on, what is it? Well, it doesn't matter how many houses there are. But they're empty houses. Nobody lives there from June. I mean, like, come on. And then on that section between Seamount and Vista, empty houses. I found 8 of those extra, Whatcom extra, right by the, at the end there. I mean, come on. It is a paper boy. That's it. Whatcom extra should go to people who want it. I've asked people. It's just automatically delivered because 20 years ago somebody signed up for it and it doesn't belong to a person. It belongs to an address. And all I'm saying is that they need to go to a person, not an address. So if I move out of my rental house, that paper's going to follow me. And it shouldn't be there just in the lawn, you know, week after week.
I don't disagree with you, Grace.
Okay, I have faith in Mark to work on it. Okay. Anyone else want to tell you about what great their things are sons of Daniel?
Mr. Mayor.
Okay. One more here?
Yeah. Extra credit.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Patience Thompson, and I live at 5349 Poplar Place. I came tonight to address the problem of a neighbor of mine that's in our neighborhood. He has moved in recently since we purchased our home a couple years ago, and he decides that he would like to scrap large vehicles like motorhomes in the front yard. The backyard is completely immaculate. I'd be totally fine if he did it in his backyard for some reason. He chooses to do it in the front yard. It's at the point that I have a daughter and a son, and when I go to load them up in the vehicle, he's got scrap metal all over the place. I feel like it's a hazard. He does most of his work in the middle of the night, and so all of our neighbors have complained, at least to me. I don't know if they've come to the city and expressed their complaints with that, but everyone in the neighborhood is really distraught with the lookings of his front area. He's got multiple boats that just sit there, scrap wood. He brings anything and everything and leaves it in the front lawn. And it's just, to me, it's a hazard. I've mentioned it in one of the civil dispute forms that I was able to fill out last year around the holidays. And they addressed it the beginning of this year because it got passed around to a couple different people. And he did get a letter to clean it up, and he ripped apart the motorhome day and night, and it was finally gone. But then he waited a couple months, and he brought a trailer. So this is the way he makes his money. I just wish there was a way that it was less harmful to my kids and not an eyesore in case I wanted to move, because nobody would want to move into my house.
Community Development Director, are you aware of this address?
We are, and we actually talked to Patience the other day and invited her to come tonight. There's something else on the agenda that...
Yeah, she's interested in item D.
Absolutely. Okay. But we will investigate that again as we let her know our ability to enforce is going to, hopefully, depending on how D goes tonight, be improved after the first of the year.
And if you listen to item D and you have any questions on that,
okay,
be sure to raise your hand and bring up and answer questions on that.
And
that's an item that's interesting.
Is that in reference to fences or in reference
obscurities
and stuff?
Code,
okay.
Code,
the other thing that I was wondering in reference to this, if depending on how D goes, the rules against fences, because I can only build a fence that's, I think he said it was like 2 feet high off the ground. And I even have pictures of the eyesore of the motorhome being scrapped in the front yard, the trailers that he has with tarps on them, just the fact that I can't build a fence that's high enough to even cover that from just looking at my property is something that's...
Okay.
Is that because it's a front yard fence? It's a front, yard fence. It would be just something between, because our driveways...
Yeah, the rules for the front yard are different.
Yeah.
Councilperson Mutchler?
This is a business?
Is
this a business?
I've asked him what his job is before from the years that we've lived next to him, and he says he's a jack of all trades. He does not actually work out of the home. He's got consistent traffic. I've actually taken pictures of all the vehicles that come to his house because I can't keep track of all of them. And
his activity seems to be a business.
Yeah, it seems to be a business. He's always fixing cars, ripping apart things.
Business. So. Code money.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Ta-da, ta-da.
John, you go, John.
Do I have to leave already?
Nope.
Jeez, kind of tough. Okay, I actually have three things, one of which is ad hoc. Just so you know, I walked this...
You forgot your intro.
Okay, I'm still John Robinson, a.k.a. Papa John, and I live at 6072 Malloy, which is not a.k.a. Malloy House.
Thank you.
In Fernburg. And I walk the streets every day. I'm a street walker. Did ask the chief for a permit, but I'm waiting for that. And the point is, I do pick up literal litter every day. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to newspapers, I find that people who can't pick up a paper out of their own yard and recycle it if they don't want to read it, it is very puzzling to me. So if you got a free paper, as far as I'm concerned, you have a free opportunity to recycle something for the good of the community, quit complaining. That's how I feel about it. Two other things are, I want to pass on some accolades and plaudits to Sam Taylor, because apparently even though I didn't see my feminine side, I was amiss several meetings ago when I passed on accolades and plaudits to most of you here. And so I want him to know that you all know that I find him very erudite in his machinations and elucidations. So if that's something maybe you should see a doctor about, because it sounds kind of serious. But anyhow, so you know that.
I take pills for it, so.
Yeah, it might be a cure, I'm not sure. But the second thing I want to do is, because this is the time of year where everybody should be effusive in your ebullience. And it's hard to sing joy to the effusive ebullience. But I have a shortcut for that. I'm going to give to the mayor something I intend for him to give to everybody, since he represents the community, particularly at this time of year, but it should be all year. And so what I'm going to present to him now, as representative of you and the entire community, regarding the, you know, particularly this time of year, because we want him to be effusive in the ebullience too, is this bottle of joy. Any joy in the world, right? Instead of effusive ebullience.
Joy in your heart.
Now, I want you to note that that's not just joy, it's ulcer joy. And furthermore, it's actually for the hands. It's a antibacterial, so he can actually put it on his hands and share the joy. And at the same time, kill germs both on his hands and everybody else. So what do you think? Great idea, right?
Next week you can bring him a bottle of pledge and pride and joy.
So,
well,
is this a
house
report, or? Okay.
Don't have a council report.
That kind of night, isn't it?
I might not make it.
Lloyd Zimmerman.
Hello.
You're okay?
Am I okay?
I know you. Well,
that's just 3 minutes.
Yeah, just 3 minutes. I can pull off in 3 minutes. Lloyd Zimmerman, tonight is my last council meeting, and much to the. And what I have, you know, as they say, they politician, give him enough rope and he'll hang himself.
You're not going to hang yourself, are you?
No. I mean, it's just.
But there are kids here, so.
There. Because what I need to do, what I'm going to do here, because some of you people may know this or may not know this, but Gary and I go back a long, long way. He was a wrestler, and I was a basketball player. Well, when you start wrestling or basketball, whatever you say, you step into the arena. And when you run for public office, it's a public arena. You are a public person, and it's a whole different, weird world. My wife is so happy that I'm getting out of politics because she says it brings out the worst. Gary, why don't you come up here and step into our arena?
Not going to happen.
Okay. There's a poem that's a famous poem. It's a section of an address from President Theodore Roosevelt. It's called The New Citizen of the Republic. It's a small part, and it's called The Man in the Arena. So if Gary was meant to be in the arena here, that's probably here. This poem goes like this.
It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions? who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows, in the end, the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And Jesus, here, would you bring up Great Stuart? It's a paper product I'm proud to do, by the way. Gary?
Oh! Step over into the...
Not going to happen.
Okay. Here's some artwork that I did, and there's two of them here. This represents leadership, responsibility, courage, and bravery, and I want to present this to Gary. Of course, he was supposed to open it. It's chocolates. That's not chocolates. But there's an extra one of those here, also for the chief, and it's just for a gift for me to you. Because, you know, some of the best, like I said, some of the best things happen in politics as a group effort, but you know, sometimes politics brings out the worst in an individual who gets frustrated. I've had 6 years with the city and as elected official, and I haven't always got my way. I'm not quite sure if I've ever. But the idea is I have good sportsmanship and I have no ill will with Gary. I've been going a long way, a long time. And I'll leave out all the sappy stories from high school and beyond. But great guy, and I appreciate all the camaraderie with the town. Definitely. Carol, for stepping up in this place, and I wish you do a fine job. And thank you for all the time.
Thank you. Anyone else on the open comment period? Okay. What we'll do now is we'll open the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting at 6:22. And before you, Council, is the 214 TBD budget resolution and the TB project list update resolution. And it's a consent agenda, so you can just approve both on a consent agenda as representatives. All of the Council is representative of the Transportation Benefit District Board.
I move that we pass the consent agenda for the TBD Board.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. So I'll stop the TBD board at 6:22:50. And moving on to the regular consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Okay, been moved and seconded. Further discussion, Councilperson Zimmerman?
I'd like to move the non-representative employee contracts out for discussion.
Is there a second? Okay, seeing second, motion moves forward for vote. Further discussion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Passes 6-1. Capital projects.
That sounded unanimous.
Hmm?
That sounded unanimous.
No, it's one.
I don't think so.
I didn't know it took a second to take something off.
Does it?
No.
Oh. It actually doesn't. That's why I got confused. It doesn't take a second to take it off.
They're removed from the regular agenda.
All right, so we're going to talk. We're going to remove the non-represented contracts.
Correct. The B1 will be fine.
No, we're going to put it at. We'll put it at. We'll put it at E2. Bump it down. So E2. Okay. Rest of the consent agenda has been passed.
Well, we probably should
vote. Okay, we'll revote the rest of the consent agenda, excluding the non-represented employee contracts. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, 7-0 on
Thank
that.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, capital project updates. Welcome.
Thank you. Do you have a new computer too?
This is a new one that we've all inherited.
Oh. Does it show?
Now that works, it's easier to do it.
All right, so
this evening because it's the end of the year. We thought we'd kind of put together a little photo montage of the projects that we got done this year. Let's see if this works. Yeah, so the first project that got started in 2012, but we finished it up in 2013, is the Main Street and Southwest Regional Pond project. And if you remember, Main Street was kind of a sad-looking two-lane road and before we got to work on it. And now it's two lanes with a center turn lane, curb gutter, sidewalk, and much nicer. That project also included construction of a new regional stormwater facility down off Douglas and Imhoff Road, which is complete, now taking water from both Main Street and the future Church Road project.
Are they all done with the vegetation? Yeah.
Yeah, that's next. On the, yeah. So just to kind of follow up on the Main Street project, after we closed that project out, we had a construction budget alone of right around $3.9 million, and we finished the project at $3.4 million, so we saved about $475,000 on that construction project alone. Next were the Thornton Road improvements. As you know, we got a federal grant to be able to improve this road. I think it was not last year, the year before, we had to reduce the speed limit because the road was failing. So this project included widening the road, adding a turn lane on Vista, curb gutter, sidewalks, and then a stormwater facility. And that was completed in summer 2013 in time for the school to open. And so that project contract budget was approximately $1 million. We finished that at $970,000, so that was about $60,000 under budget. Next was Vista Drive. Pavement preservation. We received Transportation Improvement Board money to be able to fix up the pavement on this road. We were also able to replace the sewer on Vista, which was substandard and in pretty terrible shape. So that was also completed in summer of 2013 this year. Initially, our contract budget was $1.2 million, and we finished that off at just about $1.1 million, saved about $60,000. Mm-hmm. Next is a project that Wendy managed, and that's the Crestline Stormwater Improvement Project. Before, as you know, all the stormwater coming down Crestline would flood out houses, and so she worked with the property owner to get a new easement across a private property so we could improve that. And that was done in fall of 2013. Next is another project that Wendy was in charge of, and this is the Main Street and Church Road Mitigation Project that Councilmember Goodrich was asking about. That has just been completed down at the Southwest Regional Pond site. So you can see that area has been planted and taken care of. So, and Wendy notes here that Wynwood Landscape installed over 2 acres of wetland creation enhancement area. And the work included removal of invasive grass species and planting nearly 5,000 plants. So I guess there's one portion of this that still is to be completed, and that will be done by the city forces later this spring. Mm-hmm. Next is our Lego and Washington intersection project, which was, the road was pretty bad. It was failing. So the project here was to fix up the intersection and install some pedestrian facilities. So the project turned out pretty nice. And we were able to get it all completed in what we're calling summer of 2013. If you remember, Janice promised that we were going to get that done in summer. So we took the opportunity in the nice weather. I think it was about 18 degrees out, and so she was enjoying the nice summer weather there.
That's great. That's outstanding.
So in 2014, we're looking forward to getting some more projects done. We're going to be quite busy. That includes the Ferndale Public Library. Sam provided me with some photos here. I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that. Knows more about it.
That's Greg's project.
Get it later.
We'll get it later.
Early next year, we will start installing trees along the new portion of Main Street between Douglas and Church Road. Also scheduled for January and part of February will be the Cottage Place sanitary sewer replacement, where we'll replace about 350 feet of sanitary sewer mm-hmm. along Cottage Place and install a manhole at the intersection of Golden Eagle and Cottage Place.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Will our public works people be doing any part of this project, or is it all subbed out?
We actually, during the consent agenda, that project was awarded to Stremler Gravel of Linden. So now, that's not to say that public works won't be involved. We're always somewhat involved. I think we're providing we're installing a hydrant. I think our guys are providing that those materials. Also scheduled for 2014, we've been working on replacing sanitary sewer where it's substandard, and that includes replacing the Sterling Street sanitary sewer line. So that'll happen sometime in 2014, probably in spring. Next will be our Barrett Road pavement preservation. We were awarded... I can't remember the grant award. We were awarded a grant through the Transportation Improvement Board.
$300,000?
Excellent. So we were awarded a grant to be able to dig out the poor sections of roadway, which is pretty much the whole thing, but dig out the worst sections, fix those, and then overlay Barrett Road.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Katie, this is the stretch where that guy got killed. Walking back to Bellingham from the YMCA. Are there any pedestrian upgrades for this project?
Not that I'm aware of. It's as far as I know, we're going to be fixing the roadway surface itself. Okay. And then I think we're taking a look at the pedestrian facilities, so I'm not sure what those are as of this time. And then last but not least is the Church Road reconstruction. We were able to get signs up. If you've driven up Church Road in the last day, you'll notice that Asplund, working for PSE, has been taking trees down in preparation for moving poles. So that work is ongoing and will continue for the next several months in preparation for when we have a contractor ready to go to work. We'll probably go out to add in March.
Councilperson Watson?
I just wanted to let you know the flaggers were doing a good job today. There was a lot of traffic on Church. I went up it twice, and they were doing a good job. Three people could go, and so there was no problems.
Great. Thank you.
As fast as they work, they'll have that done about this week, everything. Yeah.
They're amazing. Okay. Yeah.
So that's all I've got.
Any questions of Katie? Councilperson Watson?
Can we put something similar to this on the website, just basically, you know, before and after and how much it cost and how much money staff was able to save?
We usually do that.
Okay.
We have a project date for every single one of these projects.
Okay.
And
I'm just thinking like kind of a year end.
One thing we necessarily does is the final cost, just because I don't know if it's a bragging thing, but I think we should do that.
I think we should do it, yeah, just for what they got for their tax dollars this year. Thank you. Get behind me,
Katie. One quick question, Katie. Have we been in touch with the school board for when church work starts in earnest?
No,
for them
not
to
yet.
Reroute those buses, because that's just not going to work.
Right. I know that I need to do that, and it's on my list of things to do, but I have not done that yet.
Plenty of time.
Goes quick, though.
Okay. One last time. Questions of Katie? No.
Okay. Thank you,
Katie. Okay, next up is a public hearing on the Global Court Enforcement Chapter Creation Enforcement Revision.
Say that three times fast.
I want to say it slowly.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. I'm here to introduce this topic. It is a public hearing. We have two ordinances, but they can both be approved with one motion. I have Dan Intraxler with the City Attorney's Office, who has been instrumental in working with staff to create all of these changes. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. The committee has looked at it a couple of times, but the rest of the council might not have. As you can see in the staff report, and as you probably know, as we go through and create new code sections, they typically have an enforcement section. What does a city do if there is a violation? And because we have codes dating back from the city's inception, we have over 100 years worth of different ways that we enforce for violations of the code. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I would say unfortunately, through time, our philosophies have changed, where we used to say that we would fine people the immense sum of $1 per violation in the early part of the of last century, to saying that we're going to put them in jail because they dance in a dance hall with alcohol. We don't necessarily share that same philosophy now today, but our code still reflects it, just like a trees or rings in a tree. You can kind of see where we were over time. What that does is it makes it very difficult for staff then to enforce, and it makes it really tough for the citizens to understand how the city will enforce and to have some expectations, consistent expectations, over what the city will do if there's a violation, let alone what constitutes a violation. So we've sought to change that, all of that tonight, where you, in the second ordinance, we have over, I believe, 30 different code sections that would be changed to all refer to this one global enforcement chapter. That's the first ordinance. We are creating this global enforcement chapter not to change what constitutes a violation, but how those violations would be processed, what sort of notification we would give to folks, and if those folks decide to continue to violate, what those penalties would be. So a couple of high points. One of them I touched on. Many of our code sections have criminal penalties involved with them, where if someone has an overhyped fence, possibly they would have the potential of going to jail if they refuse to comply. We don't think that the majority of the codes that Public Works and the Community Development Department enforce are really criminal violations. In some very few cases, there could be an egregious penalty or an intentional violation that could constitute a criminal violation. But the vast majority, 99.5% or so, can be handled civilly in both the legal definition of what civil means and also just the way that we interact with folks, where we think that, and the code reflects, we will approach it informally first, letting people know, hey, there's a violation that you should clean up. We know that the vast majority of people don't want to violate and are shocked to find out that there was a code that they are violating, and they'll seek to clean it up. If they do not clean it up, then we would enter into the more formal enforcement process, which we streamlined or proposed to be streamlined, where we would issue them a letter saying, you have violated and here are your penalties and here's your timeline for compliance. If those folks disagree with us, no, we didn't violate, actually the city has it wrong, they don't see exactly what's going on, they may appeal that, and the notice of violation will be very clear that they can appeal our decision, because sometimes we are incorrect or sometimes we don't have the full story. If, however, they either do not appeal or if they appeal and it's found that they did commit a violation, we are taking a little bit different approach than what we have in the past. The time when people can kind of game the system and kind of dare the city, what are you going to do to me? You don't have the teeth in your ordinance to enforce. That will change upon your adoption tonight, where we are stepping up the fines. If someone has been found in violation and still refuses to comply, the penalties would go up to $1,000 a day. So there is
no incentive for someone to play a game with the city and try to take taxpayer dollars to try to negotiate or not negotiate, again, playing a game with the city. As part of that, though, we are putting in place a number of steps where the city has its checks and balances on it as well, where we cannot just issue stop work orders just because we see something that's going on that we don't like. We have the ability, again, for someone to appeal, but also to request post-deprivation hearings. That means if we stop you, you now have the ability to come to us and come to the hearing examiner within a couple of days after receiving that and get back to work if we were wrong. It also gives staff the ability to remember that the primary reason for these ordinances is to conform with the code, not to try to levy fines and not to try to make money for the city through civil penalties. Instead, it is to get people into compliance. So if someone does voluntarily comply, staff now has the ability to reduce or even waive their penalties. When people really don't know that they were violating the code, and if they clean it up, is there really a scar on the landscape? Is there really a penalty that still needs to be in place? We've worked very closely with the city attorney's office, with Carol Morris, who works with the city from time to time. We've discussed with the hearing examiner, and he has looked over this this process. He would be considering appeals of enforcement. It would be switching from the municipal court to the hearing examiner, where the hearing examiner is much more familiar with not only civil violations, but land use and infrastructure violations. And we have also worked with the city's stormwater attorney. So really, possibly for the first time ever, we have four or five attorneys who are all agreeing that this is a good way to go. We also have the Community Development Department and the Public Works Department who have reviewed this and think that it is the right way to go. We know that once we start testing it out, if it is adopted and when it goes into effect on January 1st, we're going to find some code sections that we haven't touched on that we need to. We're going to find some tweaks in this. But those are only going to be identified once we start rolling it out. We've gone over it. As you know, you got a new version of it late in the day on Friday. But we without question, recommend that you approve it. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer it. It is a public hearing.
Okay, Councilman, this is a public hearing, so technical questions, not opinion statements. Councilperson Watson, then Goodrich.
Mr. Goodrich was first, actually. He had his hand up.
Thank you for noticing that. Councilperson Goodrich.
You talked about going to the hearing examiner in a short time frame. Are we going to have special hearing examiner meetings versus the once a month or so that he does now?
Yes, sir. So there's going to be two sets of appeals. One of them would be we disagree with the city and there's no time component involved, in which case we would go to the next hearing examiner meeting. If there is a stop work order or post-deprivation hearing or something like that where it is time sensitive, the hearing examiner has said that he will make himself available. If there are circumstances where he's simply not available within less than a week, within 5 days, I think Councilmember Zimmerman is saying, if for some reason hearing examiner is ill or cannot make it work, we're working on finding a hearing examiner pro tem, and there are a number of them out there. We have a number of good candidates so that they would be able to step in and hit the ground running if that became necessary.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm just curious, how do our civil penalties and enforcement compare to cities in Whatcom County and the county itself?
You know, that's a good question, and I think that I can't say within a shadow of a doubt what all of them do. Mm-hmm. I know that the city attorney might be able to provide me more information, but these are comparable, I believe, to what they are. They might be a little bit higher as far as the per-day penalty.
Stan Crack from the city attorney's office. It's really hard to tell how it compares because nobody has as comprehensive of an enforcement procedure as we're establishing here. Okay. And when we're talking about Whatcom County assessment of civil penalties, there's kind of no rhyme or reason to it. It's very hard to understand.
Okay.
And so if they issue a penalty, it looks to me sort of like it's pulled out of the air.
Okay.
But I have seen civil penalties in excess of $1,000 for a violation that occur
So I don't think that we are, you know, I don't think that we are being excessive at all, okay. If that's your question.
I was just curious how other people were doing it and how we compared.
Yeah, I think some of the other counties around are doing something comparable.
Okay. I don't mind taking the lead.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Yeah. What was Linden's per se? And are they at $1,000 per day?
I have not looked at Linden's code to compare.
Okay, clerk would answer that.
It is $1,000. And they still have to, it's still criminal, so they still appear in court.
Okay, Yori, anything more for you or any more questions for Yori?
I was just going to say one of the things that Dannon said is it, with the adoption of this ordinance, the city will move from a 1970s era ordinance to this is going to probably be one of the more cutting edge ordinances in the state of Washington, where we've talked to a number of jurisdictions all around, and it is kind of cobbled together. Very few jurisdictions have yet moved in this direction, although the ones that we've talked to want to move in this direction. They just have not been able to get the staff time and the cooperation. So this is really moving us into that next level of enforcement, which we think this could be a model ordinance for others.
Okay, any further questions from council before we go to public hearing? Okay, it's 6:46:27. I'll open the public hearing. Public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience member who have signed up prior to the beginning of the meeting, and we have none, so they will call first. We can't call them first because nobody signed up. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once you've got through all the speakers. So we'll just look to the audience, and if you want to raise your hand, we'll call you up. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So would anyone from the public like to come forward and speak on this issue? I have one. Come forward, sir. Welcome.
I'm still Papa John Robinson, still at 6072 Malloy Avenue, and this is just a totally ad hoc comment for me. $1,000 a day, I don't make that much in a month and a half. So that, just from my standpoint, as somebody who's obviously not young, not making six figures, and never have, I've been stuck with this figure for some time now. But the point of it is, it seems to me that $1,000 just, that seems like an astronomical amount of money when you, obviously per day, I don't know how many people could afford that. So that to me is a red flag, and so I would urge you to consider that item in your considerations.
Council, questions for the citizen? Seeing none? Okay, thanks, sir. Anyone else like to come forward and speak? Are you okay, or would you like to come forward? Welcome.
And
name and address again, just because the recorder catches you.
My name is Patience Thompson, 5349 Poplar Place. In reference to the ordinances that are currently in place, I was to submit a complaint, and it took months to get back and deal with the neighbor that we've been working with. And once he removed the obstruction, he basically was reset. So he has a clean slate right now. And until I bring up another complaint, and it'll be an ongoing thing, in a couple months it'll reset. Whereas with this ordinance, it basically will be an ongoing thing. The second he brings something back, it'll continue to go onto his record. So then from that point, it's not like, yes. So I move to go with the new option because with my neighbor right now, he basically can do whatever he wants. So.
Any questions for this? Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else like to come forward and speak? Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Okay, it's 6:49:25. I'm going to close the public hearing. Council? Councilperson Goodrich?
Another question. Is there any grandfathering in this where things that are currently in the process, when the new come January 1st, are they still going to be under the old things with some of the issues that we have around town? Or
no. There is no grandfathering.
Councilperson Olson, and then Zimmerman after that. So Councilperson Olson.
I move we adopt Agenda Bill 1312005.
Second. Okay, been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Councilperson Zimmerman.
I had one. Yuri, what's the anticipated effect on the lawsuit that's going to be happening probably in January with Art?
I don't believe we can't talk about that. That's
but
an
it
ongoing.
It could have some effect either way.
We're not going to discuss that right now.
Yeah.
Pending litigation. Okay, any other further questions from council? Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, motion carries 6-0 with one abstention. Council, again, as you've seen, as a progression of the senior staff of the city, they're in a constant quest to make things more efficient. We've just wiped out pages of old ordinances, easier to read, easier to administer, and just a great move. So kudos to Yuri and his staff. That's the objective, and to Dannon. Great move, and continue where we will continue, try to simplify and make things a little bit better. So great job, and we compliment both of you. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I want to congratulate Yuri and the rest of the staff also, because it's one of my favorite laws that is still on the books today in the city and county of Sacramento, California, and that is still to this day illegal to walk your dragon on Sunday.
I think we all agree that
you should have a lot of dragons in there.
I guess at one time they must have, because it's on the, they wrote the law, and it's like
you see those unicorns though all day long.
What's that?
It is the capital of California.
Okay, our city clerk is up next. Are you going to talk about the council pay ordinance?
As much as I can.
Okay.
I'll probably defer to the three council members who requested this, but I wanted to just give basics on what the two ordinances do. The main issue was there was a request for clarification in terms of council pay. This, to be very clear for the audience, this is not an increase or decrease in council pay. It's simply a question of paying per meeting and how we pay per meeting, and whether we carry meetings above six beyond to the next month, or if it's a flat rate. In no instance does the pay change. That's basically what these two ordinances do. Our current system allows a council member to receive a base salary, and then they have so many meetings they can earn up to a maximum salary per month. It equates to the base salary plus six meetings per month. The way the ordinance reads right now, if a council member has, say, eight meetings in a month, they could take those extra two and then carry them further. So if for some reason you work 13 meetings in a month, and say in March, say you do that in January, in March you could add additional ones up to a maximum of six to your pay schedule, and we would pay that. One ordinance clarifies that so that if you work additional, you can only carry the additional to the next month. You can't go from January to July, for instance. It would be January to February. The other ordinance simplifies it even further and simply makes it a maximum of what you currently earn, flat rate. We don't count the meetings. For a historical perspective, the per meeting schedule was put into place as I believe, and council can probably speak to this more, as an accountability measure. There were questions and concerns in the past about whether or not council members were attending all of the council meetings and committees and liaison assignments that one they had committed to and had been approved to represent the city by the majority of the council. So that's kind of where we're at. Those are the two ordinances. And the one thing I would note, and I've noted this to council members at committee and via email to one council member, is that the issue with carrying them forward could get complex in terms of staff having to track those for you. And so staff does lean in the direction of going flat rate. It's much easier. That's already what's budgeted for. It's very simple. If you go the other way, I think staff understands that, but we definitely would, I think, appreciate flat rate. So.
Okay, I wasn't looking who was up, so I'm going to go in order. So we'll count Councilperson Watson, Hanson, and bounce over to Councilperson Goodrich.
I'm just curious, with the flat rate, will we still turn in our timesheets?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
And that's an issue. I think we want to, Mark can probably confirm this, for the state auditing purposes, we want to make sure we have timesheets on hand.
I would like people to turn in timesheets.
Councilperson Hansen?
I'm moving forward to the mic. You hadn't given me permission to speak yet. Okay. I'm going to throw the historical perspective out. I'll be very brief because I think you've all heard this before. I was a council member when the base rate was $200. And not so much council meetings, but we had a lot of problems getting council members to attend committee meetings. And to give those council members the benefit of the doubt, committee meetings weren't regularly scheduled. Committee meetings were called by the clerk, sometimes with very short notice, when there was an item to discuss. And some committee meetings, I have attended planning and land use committee meetings that ran 3 to 4 hours because there was no limit on the meeting, and the individuals involved wanted to get involved in long, drawn-out meetings. The structure we have today, which there are minutes at every meeting, there's attendance taken at every meeting, lends itself to going, whether or not you're going as a result of pay. So I don't have any heartburn about the flat rate. It's easier on all of us as well. I don't think that this council or any in the near future are going to avoid going to a meeting because, we're going to get paid anyway, so let's go watch Monday Night Football instead of showing up at the council meeting. So that's just not, I just don't think that's going to happen. If it does, you have other disciplinary measures that you can enforce. My second comment is going to be that every one of us, my understanding of the way it's set up today, because it says 6 meetings in a month, it doesn't say which months those have to come from. You could have been carrying forth January meetings all the way to July. And when you consider that things like workshops, TBD meetings, council meetings, all count as individual meetings, plus all the council meetings, and substituting for council meetings and all that sort of thing, everyone here probably today could have their 6 meetings because some meetings I have 12 and 13 meetings that could be counted, and then the next month you get 3 or 6 or 5. So I think I'm going to lean toward the flat 6 per, and then just have people fill out the timesheet as usual, because that's an accountability tool.
So, and just for audience participation, I think the public probably sometimes doesn't understand that. Is so at a flat rate, the flat rate amount would be
$573 per month next year.
And Councilperson Hansen, for 573, typically how many hours a month do you participate in council liaison, council activities? I think the public needs to know this.
I probably end up with 7 or 8 on the average meetings, and I would say that it's going to average 1.5 to 2 hours per meeting. There are some meetings, like the TBD meeting today, tonight, that was what? 38 seconds long?
38 seconds. That didn't count as meeting.
No. Sure it did.
Yes, it does.
Sure it did.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a separate legal entity.
So in a contrast, WTA meeting, which you represent the city.
Well, I don't get paid for WTA meetings through the city because there is a stipend for WTA board members. So therefore, Sam will never find WTA on my time list.
How much a stipend is that?
44.
Per meeting.
Per meeting.
Better rate than Fernando. Councilperson Goodrich?
Me. Yeah. You're getting 50 now.
When I was first approached with this idea, it was the, carrying meetings over, and I kind of agreed with it until we were discussing it, and our finance director, Mr. Peterson, made the comment that it would be a lot easier to have the flat rate, and it was kind of the way it was budgeted. And a little further discussion. So I am in favor of going to the flat rate. And it was, because I don't think I've been properly filling out my paperwork then for the last 4 years.
And the taxpayers of Ferndale, thank you.
Me, I'll, you know, on all the subcommittees and workshops and things like that. I just put committee council meeting on Monday nights. So I don't break it down and things. So I may have been shortchanging myself for the past 4 years.
And we're not going to make it right away.
Oh, okay.
Further discussion. Councilperson Olson, then Metzler after that.
I think the answer you were looking for is we're making below minimum wage as well.
Yeah. Considerably.
Yes, considerably. When you start dividing all the hours.
Okay. I was just adding up some in my case, and I'm sitting there going, oh, I got to get rid of some meetings.
Should have stayed in school. That $15 an hour wage increase for CTAC would not apply to city council.
No.
Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, I don't have super strong feelings other than I have a couple questions. I'm wondering why, if we go with a flat rate, why do we need to fill out a time card? Because all of our meetings are public record and recorded. And it seems like a non-lean thing to do. And I know for myself that 1 month I didn't fill out a time card. I got paid the base pay, but I didn't get paid for meetings. So it seems, I don't know why we would need to fill out time cards. The other thing I want to bring up, just as a cost issue, Mr. Peterson indicates that last year, if we had all been paid for all of our meetings, as a flat rate, per se, it would have been an extra $4,500. So we are adding to the budget by doing something like this. So I think we should consider it a bit, too.
Well, this is how much we didn't charge.
I guess upon kind of thinking about this some more about timesheets, you know, for full-time exempt employees, staff, we still require timesheets, even though an exempt employee is paid a fixed salary, whether he or she works few hours or whether he or she works many hours. But when an exempt salaried employee, for example, department has leaves employment, there's a payout of sick leave and vacation. That's why we need timesheets. But for council members, if you go flat rate, I'm going to, I guess, reverse what I said earlier.
You probably don't need them.
You don't need them.
Thank you.
I think we just got a unanimous vote.
Well, no.
So was that cost statement correct or incorrect? It'll be about 4,500.
You asked a question. I answered it via email.
Yeah. Yes.
So we did some council members just got base pay periodically, and I'll call it a stipend, not salary, because it's a little tiny bit of money, so it's a stipend.
Councilperson Olson, then Watson.
Expanding on that, though, Mark, you in the budget for next year have everybody at their maximum.
I did do a discount for labor and non-labor, for labor and travel and other stuff. But it's not a big number. So the budget's okay in total.
So you've allocated this. If they went flat rate, it's in the budget.
It's not, but we it's can, not going to bankrupt the city of Ferndale.
We can take that adjustment.
Okay.
In stride.
Okay. Okay. Councilperson Watson?
I guess I would prefer that we turn in timesheets just so we are each signing that we did all our meetings every month. I mean, I suppose we could trust one another, but I would prefer that each of us turned in a sheet and said, I went to these meetings and I signed my name and I went to those meetings. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know how many meetings y'all go to.
Councilperson Hansen.
That's strictly an accountability sort of issue. I'm not going to put down meetings on a time card that I didn't attend. The thing we're all forgetting is that we are limited to the types of meetings, and some people were surprised tonight to find out some meetings counted and they didn't realize it. I often will attend on the city's behalf, it's not a committee meeting, it's not a council meeting, it's not a government liaison meeting where I have been assigned, but it's definitely representing the city. I don't get paid for those. Even if I'm short this month, I can't get paid for those. So, I guess what I'm saying is that each council person attends, you know, if I go to the Planning Commission because I'm curious about something they have tonight, and it's not always public record. I'm the liaison to the Old Settlers Association. There's a record, but it's not a public record.
Yeah.
So there are times that you would not have public meeting. I think from a
accountability standpoint that it makes sense to jot down your meetings. I know Mr. Olson next to me has it right here. He's been filling it out every meeting. He fills it out because he forgets. And so do I. So.
That was the only other thing I was going to add, was that those the intergovernmental and liaison assignments are not ones that we keep minutes of. So we don't have that proof in our minutes. That would come from your time cards. The only other thing we track for council is at the end of the year, I'm going to be counting up every single meeting you all attend related to utility funding so that we can ensure that we have the appropriate ratios for the budget.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the resolution. I don't remember which resolution that has the base, just the flat
rate.
The flat rate, and also include that council members turn in timesheets monthly.
Second.
Okay, been moved and second. Further discussion? Councilperson Olson?
I don't know if this was the right time, but since it brought up the mayor's salary, I thought about, since we're having everything else in the 90% of average, that not during your term, because, of course, we asked you to step up and fix the city after the last administration, and that was costly and took a lot of time out of your business. But this was something that would start at the end of your term. So what would that be, Sam? Technically, the first
meeting... January 1st, 2016.
Okay. First meeting of January 2016. The mayor's salary would revert back to 90% of average, which in this case would be
1,071,
but of course adjusted for inflation in the next 2 years, which would put it in line with all the other 90% average stuff that we have, since the mayor has opted not to go any further. And this would be for the next person that would be elected after your replacement.
Is that a motion, Councilmember?
Yes.
We can't do it. We haven't voted on previous ones.
It sounded like it was an amendment.
Amendment.
Okay.
So you're amending that to...
Yes, in the just strictly the portion of the mayor's... Where did it go?
Section 3. Section
3,
yeah. So
we would need a section.
So this that would be the salary of the mayor in January 2016 would be the 1,071 figure.
You're raising the 1,000%?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
That's lower than current
numbers. So you didn't want to just leave the language as 90% of the high average?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Thank you, Sam.
Of cities of our population?
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
That's what this is.
That's what that is.
I'll second the motion, the amendment.
Okay, so second, so further discussion. Councilperson Hansen?
What we don't have listed here, however, are which of these cities are strong mayor. What we don't have listed... Are all of these cities strong mayor cities?
No.
So, because I remember what it was like in this city, and it's been a while back, but when this city had a council...
Manager.
Manager form of government, the mayor was an honorary position, did not have the final say, and was paid 50% more than the council. So, in that case back then, it was 300. I think you... Before you do something like this, and I don't necessarily disagree with where you're going, but I think you have to take a look at the responsibilities. And if these people on this list don't have strong mayor responsibilities, they should be taken off the list before you establish an average.
So 90% of the high average of strong mayor systems in cities of similar population?
Yeah,
I'd like to see those figures before we... vote on this. We're going to vote on it.
Okay. I have Councilperson Mutchler, then Watson, then Ingram. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I'm in a sense with Mel in terms of that's a pretty big decision. I'd rather limit this decision night to the matter at hand, council pay, and come back to the mayor issue at a future time. So I will vote against the amendment.
Councilperson Watson?
I'd like to talk about it in the future, definitely. I don't know if I'm ready to make the decision tonight, though. I think I would. I'll probably.
Well, I think we could get the research on that and bring it up in January.
Okay, yeah.
We got 2 years, so no hurry.
The position now is to, if you're not going that direction, you can vote no on the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll vote on the amendment.
Can I just withdraw it?
Is there any objection?
Unanimous consent.
Is there any objection to his withdrawal of the amendment?
Okay,
I'll just withdraw. Okay, further discussion
to the Finance Committee?
On the main...
Real quickly, will that go back to the
Finance
Committee?
Finance Administration.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so now further discussion on the original amendment. Councilperson Wessler?
I'd like to throw out an amendment, see if it will float with council, to change the CPI from 80% and let this be a straight CPI of Seattle Index, 100%, so that this thing keeps in pace with inflation. I believe we can do that tonight, and I believe it will affect every council member's salary going forward.
That's a raise. That modification would only apply to positions 5, 6, and 7.
It wouldn't apply to them because they've already, the election started. That was clarified once before for us. That once the election is held, they ran knowing what their salary was going to be.
Never heard that before. I'll have to research that.
Okay.
That was one of our attorneys stood forth and said that. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay, back to the Councilperson Mussler.
Yeah, I'm comfortable making the same motion to have it take effect after the next election, which I believe would be proper.
Yeah, and the next election would be 2015.
So that after 2015...
Yep. It would be effective January 1st, 2016.
Yeah, so it wouldn't affect the three of us just elected. It would only affect those folks.
I'm not comfortable saying it would not affect you. I'm not sure about that. I would have to go look up the case law.
There hasn't been a second,
either. Maybe we could
second it
with the mayor's adjustment. Since we're talking about the mayor's adjustment for starting in 16, this potentially would also start in 16, so we could
bring it all back in 2016.
We would be doing we would be bringing back this full ordinance anyway because it's a package ordinance of council and mayor. So when we bring back the mayor's consideration, this is up for discussion again anyway. So sounds like January we'll be back here.
We could do the flat one now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we could do flat now and then address the other stuff in January.
Councilperson Ingram,
I'm just curious, Sam. The historical background of the 80%.
Let me see if I can take a shot at that. Perception, if not reality, is the Seattle area is a much higher cost of living than Bellingham. Now, if you look at price of gasoline, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
But certainly housing... typically would be much higher cost of living than Whatcom County, and I think that's the rationale. But with that gasoline
you don't understand the gasoline formulas then, so let's just...
I'm not really sure in terms
that was a knock on the gas global market.
You're saying, I believe you in the past, but you're saying that Ferndale cost of living would be 20% lower than Seattle cost of living.
Yeah, that's the proposal. I mean, that's the genesis.
That'd be an interesting thing
that's
to
a genesis
anymore. I'm not so sure real estate's that way.
I lived in Redmond, and this is much cheaper.
His daughter rents an apartment in Seattle.
Yeah, just look at rents. On a bus line.
Okay, further discussion. Councilperson Goodrich?
Well, just in following at that, when I worked in the assisted living thing, we used to say we had Seattle prices, but we're not paying Seattle wages.
Just to clarify, we actually did have a second on Councilmember Mutchler's motion. I don't know if it's withdrawn or what we're doing.
Did you want to withdraw it, John, and bring it back to the other?
I'm a little for it. We'll just take a vote and then deny that way.
Okay, so, and we had a second?
Councilmember Olson seconded.
Okay, so you want to restate the motion, please?
The motion is to adjust the CPI adjustment of council salaries instead of 80% of that CPI to simply 100% of the CPI, Seattle CPIW.
And if they voted tonight, then
that would happen until
2016. There's a question as to whether or not it will impact positions 5, 6, and 7 beginning of the year.
And so... could be looking at three positions just voted themselves a raise.
They voted whoever has the position January 1st, 2016, a raise, the position.
Yeah. My motion was to wait 2 years because I didn't want that perception.
So effective January 1st, 2016.
Oh, okay.
So it would not impact them. Correct.
Okay. So everyone understand that motion? Councilperson Olson?
Are you I don't consider the rate of inflation a raise. Is that? I mean, it's not like we're giving a raise. You're just trying to playing catch up with what the cost of living of everything is.
But it's an increase in the salary.
If it was effective tonight, you'd have a different salary rate for three council members would have a different salary than four council members.
Those are cost of living increases. I don't look at it as a raise. That's just me.
Am I right in that?
The Constitution doesn't regard COLA versus merit. It's just an increase is an increase, a decrease is a decrease. But this doesn't even take effect until January 1st, 2016, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a moot point.
Okay, so everyone understands the motion. You're voting yay or nay. Okay, so to add it in 2016, all in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay. Yay.
All those voting nay.
Nay. I think there were four nays.
Four to three.
Ingram. Roll call. Paper.
Oh,
for God's sake. Okay. You have it. Did I read it as it's a 4-3?
Correct. Mm-hmm. 4-3, a fail.
Yep.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it can't come up again.
January.
Correct. Yeah.
That's a very true.
Well, January. It can come up all the way till the final for office. That's
good. Okay. Are you going to find out?
I'm going to, yeah.
You're going to bring back some information.
I've never heard
that. Okay, moving on.
I've heard of many councils raising their pay right before the next term. I've never heard of that not allowed. So it's usually a very controversial topic in cities. So
The attorney that talked to us said certification of the election. At the point the election is certified, then it would be raising your own salary.
There's got to be a court case that speaks to that, yeah. That must very be
in this
some...
case, two members were reelected.
Would
be raising their own salaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, it should be noticed.
I will research it.
Regardless of what you go to, you're all underpaid. Okay, Councilperson Zimmerman.
We serve a motion.
Oh, that's right.
The original motion.
To go flat rate.
That's right. Go flat rate, which is a very lean move. Thank you. Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. 7-0.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. Okay, Councilperson Zimmerman, you pulled off the non-representative contracts from the consent.
Yeah.
Direction from you.
Just a few technical questions. I really couldn't get a bottom line if I was doing a budget as far as which health care contract that they were going with, what the bottom line was at. And I just, I think they're really exorbitantly high, and I would like to see in the under the auspices of transparency that we take these out and we vote on them, and I'd ask for a roll call vote, and nothing may change, but that's just fine. It's just, but I'd like to see it.
Was there a question about health care, Councilman Zimmerman? I was unclear.
We removed these from that, and I'd like to go over.
No, was there a question about health care?
Yeah. I mean, the last pack, I didn't see it here. It was removed. But the different health care options for that particular employee.
It used to have listed. Okay.
You had it listed
options.
Last.
Yeah, so the way it works is all employees of the city have four different health care options.
Right.
They have a normal Regents plan.
But they're all different prices.
Correct.
And they have different bottom lines affecting the budget.
Correct. And each individual employee gets to choose which one they get to select.
Right.
We don't control that. So,
but it should be represented here.
Represented in the contract.
I mean, well, how big a discrepancy is there? I mean, we're talking about you know, $6 here, $6 there for what we're doing.
Yep.
So I just think in the full.
So for food for thought, the Regents Health First plan, which is the top of the line plan, for a family of four is approximately $23,000 per year.
And the city picks up everything.
No, it does not.
Just employee.
The monthly premium share for an employee for non-represented is currently $85 per month, and that will be increasing to $95 per month next year. None of our non-reps are on that except for our community development director. Everyone else is on a lower plan. But that's their option. So we've set up the options. The council has approved those options by approving the budget and by approving our interlocal agreement with the Association of Washington Cities. So beyond that, it's not really something the council technically can control.
Okay. The other issue I had was out here with the terms of the contract. It really does. Just 6 months, and then 2014, all the reopen the contracts. To me, that seems kind of strange.
Is there a question regarding that?
Yeah, I don't like it.
There's a question regarding that?
Question mark at the end?
Yeah, I don't support it. So okay. I'd like to bring them out individually and have an observation to say, yeah, yay or nay on these various aspects of it.
Your proposal is to bring each individual employee non-represented contract out one by one?
Yeah.
Are you putting that in the form of a motion?
I probably need to, don't I?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I would like to vote on individually and have a roll call vote.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Okay. Dies for lack of a second. Further discussion, Councilperson Mutchler.
I'd like to move the adoption of the contracts for the non-represented employees tonight.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 6-1. Okay, next up is mayor reports. I'd like to start out by reading you a letter from the Ferndale Friendship Community Garden, and it's addressed to the city council. I'll give the copy to the clerk. Greetings, I'm writing to thank you for your support of the Ferndale Friendship Community Garden. This past year, the FFCG provides space for local families to grow vegetables in their own plots and offers them the opportunity to share in the preparation, planting, and harvest of larger communal plots. This year, 70 adults and children planted, cared, and harvested fresh vegetables for the table. In addition, the Giving Garden grew fresh produce expressly for the Ferndale Food Bank. This year, thanks to the hard work of Ann Donovan, the garden donated 1,400 pounds of vegetables to the food bank. The Youth Garden Club, in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club of Ferndale, continue to bring children to the garden weekly to learn good nutrition and experience hands-on gardening. The garden has an active steering committee. The members are taking on more of the governing and planning of their garden to ensure a long and fruitful future. This year, the gardeners were adventurous and tried some new gardening techniques. They successfully grew melons under a low tunnel, grew summer squash and cucumbers on straw bales, and grew several trial varieties of dry beans. They had fun, and it was a learning experience for everyone. In the hoop house this year, we are experiencing with growing later into the season. Currently growing in the hoop house are beds of arugula, spinach, and salad greens. We were fortunate to receive help from Alcoa volunteers, Windward High School students this spring. These volunteers installed deer fencing around the area we received from the city of Ferndale and prepared the area for planting corn, pumpkins, and winter squashes. In October, Alcoa volunteers replaced over half the beds in the garden and ready the garden for the winter. The city of Ferndale, and especially the men and women of the Public Works Maintenance Department, continue to support the garden in any way they could. FFCG received generous donations of money, gardening supplies, and gardening advice from Wiku, the Ferndale Food Bank, Phillips 66, Cascade Blueberry Farm, Uprising Seeds, Ace Hardware, Portaway Farm and Garden, John Williams, CTK Harvest, and West Coast Seeds. We'd like to invite all of the council or any Ferndale citizens to visit the garden, and please visit our website at ferndalecommunitygarden.blogspot.com. If you'd like to meet at the garden for a tour, we'd love to walk through the garden with you. It's one of my favorite places to be. Sincerely, Gloria J. Perez, Ferndale Friendship Community Garden. So, great job. And that's the city council started this endeavor, and it's working out really well, and I think you all should be complimented. I'd like to tell you about a meeting that we went last week. We met before the Whatcom County Planning Commission. We presented our population and work estimates for the coming year. That will go, it'll pass through the Planning Commission after further discussion and go to the County Council. What I want to talk to you about our staff is it was led by Yuri Bennett. We didn't speak before them until 8:45. Councilperson Watson and I were there. And here's what's important to notice is that after we spoke, a Ferndale citizen came up and said, you know, I'm proud to be from Ferndale in watching the presentation that you put forward. It was a professional presentation. You have support here. The community is behind you, and I'm proud to say I'm from Ferndale. Another gentleman stood up and said, you know, I attend all these meetings. I'm not from Ferndale, but you know what? Ferndale's got it together. You're planning well for the future. And I appreciate that. I hope the staff realizes that council is behind them, that the mayor's behind them. I felt sorry for the city of Bellingham They were chastised, and the poor guy was sitting there all by himself with nobody behind him, and here's the city of Ferndale supporting us. So great job to your and his department, and a great job, and I think you should be proud of our staff. So again on that plan is, you heard Sam talk about the medical plans in Ferndale. No other employee has worked harder in Ferndale than Sam is to take the time to show employees different avenue of medical plans. And that, and you're right, is what you heard. That's a volunteer decision by our employees. But Sam has sat down hours and hours and talked with employees. And this will resort, because of Sam showing them different options for medical care, that you will see a savings of over $70,000. I'm not spitting out over $70,000 in savings to the medical cost of the city of Ferndale because Sam Taylor took this on and dedicated itself to us. So when you're looking at seeing the value of employees, we have employees that care about these cities. So great job. We all love Sam. The other one is, obviously we know that this is the last meeting night for one of our council members. And I want to take a few minutes to reflect on the past. Tonight will be the last council meeting for one of our council members. Any and all elected officials in small cities such as ours, and have duplicated all throughout our state, deserve a heartfelt thank you for volunteering. This council person, and all you too, because it is a volunteer. You've looked at your pay wage. If anyone wants to work for those wages, you'd be found guilty. The city would be thrown out because you're well below the minimum wage. You all deserve a heartfelt thank you for volunteering and stepping forward to serve our city. Stepping forward for 6 years in the terms of Councilperson Zimmerman, attending numerous city council meetings twice per month, committee meetings twice per month, budget workshops throughout every fall, right in the summertime when it's hot in this building, that's something not everyone does. There's a time none of us will ever get back, and we gladly step forward in a simple quest to try to do it in our own way, in our own way to make this community a better place. The message which each and every one of us attempt this are unique to each of us. You can never discount the effort. Regardless of you disagree with the effort, you can never discount the effort. All of you think differently, and that's what politics is all about, and that's what they elect you for. All of you have a different thought process. Win or lose or win, you must always respect the effort. Councilperson Lloyd Zimmerman, no one can ever say your time spent in this chamber was not interesting. We sincerely wish you well in your future. We like to present this plaque and centennial coin. Your city and the citizens of this city thank you for your service.
Speech!
No, that
didn't happen at the beginning.
No.
Did you speech?
You're very welcome. Okay, further council reports. Councilperson Hansen?
I have the honor Saturday, along with some other members of Local Kiwanis Club, of ringing bells for the Salvation Army at Hagen's. So as you come in and out of Hagen's to get your Christmas groceries on Saturday, we will be putting the arm on.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's probably a little chilly. Councilperson Watson?
The holiday giving store starts this Wednesday, but you still have a chance to give some gifts. There's a couple of things still left on the tree at City Hall?
Yeah, we have three or four at this point. We have a pile of toys at City Hall.
But if you still haven't had a chance to give, just stop by City Hall and you can pick up one of the angels from the tree.
The deadline is technically tomorrow, but I don't think they'll complain if you drop them.
No, you can, all the way through Friday.
They would love more.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Mr. Mayor, it was very heartwarming to hear the positive response to the community garden. And a few years ago, the PUD, they fenced in the 5 acres that is just to the south of the community garden. And I went and talked with them, and they were amenable to lease us that acreage for like something like $1 a year or something like that, knowing that would be put into good use. And with the growing veterans group that's formed and that looks like the growing need for that, I think it'd be worth re-exploring that with the PUD and see if they would still be amenable. I mean, we're not their customers for the water anymore, but maybe that's more of a reason that land would be a surplus for our community needs.
I think we could find $1 a year if they could agree to that. Good tough process. Any other council reports?
Nope. Going to staff reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City manager.
Actually, I skipped over, I guess, a little bit for the library as far as the construction update. We are, the ground is thawing. It has thawed, so that's allowed the backfilling in anticipation of the slab to continue. They're almost done backfilling, which means the rebar, the hydronics, and the electricity, because remember there's all those in-floor electrical outlets. So all that will go in, and if all goes well, they're hoping to pour the slab on the 24th. And that's a big deal.
Christmas Eve?
That's what they want to do. Maybe the 23rd, but they want to get it done. They want to get out of the mud. They want to get into real building. And so that'll really be a turning point. But again, it's weather dependent as well as the impending holidays.
You can't forecast the weather up here more than about 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But the current long range for the 24th is like 23 degrees.
Yeah.
So good luck with pouring concrete.
Community Development Director.
Happy holidays.
Oh, good job. Clerk's office.
Council members, the mayor stole my thunder, I guess, on the health care, which I shouldn't have told him earlier, so I could tell you myself. But it's $74,311, just for clarification. But I actually wanted to talk to you about the new records management software. You approved in the budget $9,000 for next year for that software, and then $3,000. We actually were able to get an additional discount, so it's going to be $9,002. So we're pretty happy they were able to work with us on that. And so we're still moving along. We have all of our training starting at the beginning of the year. We're hoping by mid-year to have the public portal up and running on the website for probably start with all the contracts and interlocal agreements that I have in a very large cabinet. We'll all be digitized and placed on our website for public viewing, and we'll go from there. So.
Very cool.
I have down our notes that the Public Works Department has a 2-page report to bring forward.
Stop it.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
It's actually 4 now.
The microphone's, yours.
Well, I've been taking good notes tonight, so I have a lot more reporting to do.
I'm over
adjourned. One last quick thing. Did you just before we came down here tonight, we were watching the news for a couple of seconds while we ate. The Chevy dealer down south. $420,000 that he lost on the Seahawks game because they shut out the Giants. It was like
shouldn't be able.
Go on.
Never again.
Probably not the greatest maneuver. Okay, I have a motion for you to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, council.
See y'all next year.